Welcome everybody to the very first Arseholics podcast. We thank you very much for tuning in and joining us. The four of us, friends, go back many, many years, but we have a common love for Arsenal Football Club and all things Arsenal. And we actually all go to games regularly. We're all season ticket holders, sit next to each other at the North Bank Lower, at the Emirates. And we thought, while we tend to or seem to be discussing all things Arsenal on a daily basis in our WhatsApp chat, we thought, why not record our thoughts, record our opinions, put it out there and see what you guys think. So I'll just go around and introduce everyone. We've got Raj, a.k.a. the North Bank Ninja.
Hello. And you said we go to games regularly. You only turn up to category A+, mate. Three of us go regularly. I don't know about you.
Very, very, very swiftly on. We've also got, this is a special appearance from Raj. We may not see him again. We've also got Nero. Hi, Nero.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys.
And we've got Nero. Aaron in as well.
Hey, how's it going?
And myself, Myers, as well. So we're going to get straight into it. So yesterday, Arsenal 4, Leeds United 2. Just going into what we thought of the team selection when that was announced. Nero, what were your thoughts on the team?
I was actually quite impressed with the team selection, to be honest. When we had signed Odegaard, which was many of you were, like, we were trying to understand how he's going to fit into the system. Would he be rotated with Smith Rowe, or, you know, will Saka have to sacrifice and go left back? But I think what he did was really smart, playing Oba up front and somehow managing to fit in Saka and Smith Rowe and Odegaard together, and having someone technical behind him as well, Ceballos. I think it really worked yesterday. I think really happy with the team lineup. So I'll show you the result.
Sure. And Aaron, and I mean, we had a chat about the lineup. We predicted lineup that we thought was going to happen. I actually suggested that Saka might go to left back, considering that Aubameyang's now back. You know, Pepe seems to be back on form. We've got a lot of options going forward. Martinelli's now fit. What were your thoughts on the team lineup?
Yeah, I'm really happy that we stuck out with Saka on the right rather than move him to left back, because yeah, he's probably a better left back than Cedric, but I mean, the guy's like our best player right now. And take away your best player from his best position, it's just never a good idea. So it was a positive move, and I'm glad like Arteta didn't really like panic too much. Because I know Cedric's been a bit kind of inconsistent. Sometimes he's really good, but then he has these moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we stuck out with him. And, you know, he played all right yesterday. But the good thing is it just meant Saka was there to just do his thing. And, like, boy, did he do his thing.
Yeah, we're going to get into analysis of the game and our thoughts on what was an eventful game, obviously. Lots of goals, lots of incidents. So Raj, first half, what I would say was a great performance from Arsenal. One that we were due, I think, and definitely needed. What were your thoughts on the first half?
I think, we've seen quite a few games in the first 10, 15 minutes. We create a couple of chances, quite decent chances, and then we rue them, right? Mm. You know, and I really felt like that was going to happen, because I know there was the chance. I think Bellerin skied it, I think, if I recall correctly. And at that point, I thought, is it going to be one of those days? But I think the moment Oba scored, it was like something ignited in the team, right? Like the moment that went in, it was kind of like, right, something's a bit different today. Mm. And it just all seemed to click, right? You know, even when we didn't get the first penalty from Saka and we just kept going, and the next penalty came, it all just felt really, really positive. And it felt like we almost picked up from that first half against Wolves, you know, before the sending off. And, you know, if we just take the Villa game out of the equation, it reminded me of how well we were playing then. So I was really happy with that first half performance.
Definitely. And I think we'll talk about the goals specifically, or take them one by one. Obviously, there were four goals in the first half. So Oba's first goal, obviously a goal that he massively needed. Like, we've obviously seen how much he struggled this season. Obviously, the team struggled this season. But when you're used to the goals that he's given us and probably given whoever he's played for throughout his career. We've obviously really missed those goals. You know, we've really lacked in terms of just scoring goals the whole season. Yeah. So that first goal, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I mean, yeah, like I was watching, I watched it back a few times, and I noticed the move in terms of how the ball actually gets to Aubameyang, where Smith Rowe, he comes off the flank, receives the ball, and then creates that space for Aubameyang. He's one on one with, I think it's, is it Alioski or is it, I can't remember who, which Leeds guy, which Leeds defender it was, but one of the Leeds centre back. It was the Leeds centre back, and you know, that's where obviously we've been talking about him playing through the middle, and it hasn't kind of really worked out this season. And where's his best position? How do we, you know, where do we play him and everything? But I think that's exactly, you know, what he did for that first goal. If he gets that opportunity, obviously a little bit of magic with the step overs, and then maybe a little bit lucky with the finish. Plus, could argue that the keeper may have done a little bit better. But yeah, I was just, you know, I think probably all Arsenal fans just extremely happy to see him score and smiling again. And then after that, we sort of, like you said, Raj, we just sort of seem to push on. Really, really positive. What were your thoughts on, I'll leave this as an open question to whoever wants to answer, really, but the sort of after, following the first goal, what were your guys' thoughts on the remaining goals?
To be honest, I thought it was just a continuation of quality. I think that was it. I think, again, going back to that Oba goal, it just, you know, like you say, there was a really nice move. There was obviously that space creation. That was really interesting. It still required a quality moment from Oba, right? Which it felt like we've been lacking. We've been talking about it for ages, guys, right? Yeah. It's that quality that feels like it's not been there. But, you know, I think that set a tone to me. I don't know how you guys felt, but that's how it felt to me. And we just kicked on from there.
Yeah, it was good, right? We've been saying, like, we've tried so many different things up front. Like, we've had Laka, like, either up front or dropping into like the 10 role. We've had, you know, combinations of Pepe, Willian, Smith Rowe, Martinelli's played there for a game or two. But this just felt a lot more natural. Like, this felt like this is the way that Arteta wants us to play. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the reality is, you know, we've given Oba this 3-year contract. So we can't just, you know, like, put him to the side. We have to find a way that gets the best out of him. And yeah, it was one game, and yeah, it was Leeds, and you know, they have a habit of getting like battered by big teams. But if this is the way, like, if this is an indication of things to come, it, like, hopefully we can just make this work and it'll stick.
I think he's got a good confidence at the moment. He did well against Newcastle, I think, wasn't it? He scored 2 goals. And I think all season he's just been like out of form. I don't think, you know, there's talks about his contract getting to his head. I don't think it's any of that. Sort of see throughout the whole season, you can see him playing still with a smile, even though, you know, he's missing his chances. When the team's scoring, he's always been happy. And I think it's just a confidence thing. And he's a world-class player. Can't doubt it.
Do you think it's a combination of he's not in form, or that the system that we played yesterday was like allowed him to get there? Because I feel like when Lacazette's played alongside him, it just, for whatever reason, hasn't really worked.
I think it's the system, definitely. It's having those three players behind him and Ceballos. You've got four creative players there. And was it Xhaka who picked out the final pass, wasn't it? And Xhaka, I know, you've got your doubts about him, but that's the quality Xhaka does bring to the team as well. So having those players around him who, like I said, create the space and make the space for him, I think that definitely, I think that helped him anyway.
I mean, I was just going to say, like, we in our conversations, and we've watched Aubameyang, obviously was out for a few weeks recently, but we've obviously, I've definitely noticed, we've all noticed it, but I've definitely pointed out, it's almost been, it looked like a, I don't want to say a lack of effort as such, but it kind of looked like just, even the basics he wasn't doing, like just trapping a ball with his first touch. You know, the things that he was doing last season, things we saw him doing the cup semi-final and the final. You know, that, I don't know what it was, just that little edge. And obviously we know that he's had personal things going on, and who knows, you know, we just don't know, right? What his mindset's been for the duration of the season. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think his record speaks for itself. And hopefully that is Aubameyang sort of back and firing for us for the rest of the season. I mean, I know Aaron, and you mentioned about him being in the team. I mean, I think when you see what he did yesterday, it's almost like, you know, how can he not be in the team? And I think maybe this little break has done him some good, you know, just taking him out of the spotlight. You know, no one's really talking about his lack of goals. The team seems to do okay without him. Okay, we had a couple of bad results, but generally we were all right for a couple of games and performances were okay. So yeah, I think, yeah, very positive. And then obviously, I think I said earlier, there were four goals in the first half. I've just remembered there were only three, right? So yeah, apologies for that. But let's talk about the penalty that was and then wasn't. Raj.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm conscious. I think we all wear rose-tinted glasses to a certain extent, right? Like whenever we support our own clubs. And I think my first instinct when I saw it was, how have we been robbed? That was just, it felt so harsh, given everything we've been through over the past few weeks as well. It felt, the fact that that was given and overturned, my first reaction was, what kind of clear and obvious error was there in order for it to be overturned? Because for me, the only thing that could mean it's clear and obvious was that there's no contact. The only way for me, that in my understanding of the rules, is that there would have been no contact. But, you know, when suddenly I remember I reacted, I told some of my friends who are not Arsenal fans, and initially they were like, nah, man, that's not a penalty. There was like no contact. And I was like, okay, maybe I need to see it again. But when I saw it again, there was contact, right? Yeah. There was contact. And I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, if the referee didn't give it and VAR looked at it, VAR can look at it and say, okay, yeah, you know, there's no clear and obvious error because, you know, maybe the ref thought there wasn't enough contact, so fair enough. But the fact that they overturned it, it makes no sense to me because, again, not to labour the point, but I still don't see what the clear and obvious error was.
Mm. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I'm just really glad we made it irrelevant.
Yeah,
because I'm just so tired of thinking about what ifs with referees and like going over replay after replay. Like, not only did we, did we make it irrelevant with the result, but like, I think it was like 5 minutes later, we would just like went and had another penalty.
Yeah, same player wins the penalty.
So that was nice because, I was getting very tired of just getting annoyed with refs.
I think that leads us on nicely. I mean, we're going to talk about Saka shortly, specific and focus on him, but I think that leads nicely onto the pen that was. Obviously, Nero, Stonewall penalty. Yeah. No comment on that, really. Really, is there?
That couldn't really. Yeah, imagine that went to VAR, but overturned as well. That would have been.
I think the thing. I mean, we're going to talk about Saka, right? But I mean, just specifically on him winning that penalty. Fantastic, really, isn't it? I mean, he pretty much just created a penalty, created that out of nothing. You know, just by pressing really, really high up, and being aggressive with the press, and putting Meslier under some pressure. So, no, fantastic. And then, great penalty from Aubameyang. Really good penalty, actually. You know, sometimes I've seen him sort of hit them in the bottom corners and not really hit them that cleanly. And as long as they go in, it doesn't matter. But this was a penalty, you know. So, you know, happy days. And then the third goal, that's a lovely goal. Who wants to talk about this one?
I mean, it was one of those where it felt like the move had died, right? Because the move was great. It looked great. Like, it was so intricate, so brilliant. And by the time Bellerin got into the position he did, I thought, all right, well, it's going to be hard to score from here. And I think we kind of got a bit lucky, I guess, with the finish. It was a bit hopeful. I think the keeper could have probably done better, but the move deserved it, right? And that was us at what we would hope is going to be a signature type move, right? That was complete fluidity. That was a bunch of players from defense to attack all being on the exact same page, right? In confidence, in like synchronicity, everything. It was such a great, it was a throwback goal, wasn't it? It was like the old days when we saw the old Arsenal, Wenger's Arsenal at its best, right? It was that kind of goal. Like, it got me really pumped, actually.
That nutmeg by Ceballos in the box as well. That was brilliant.
and he waited for it, didn't he? You know, he kind of held onto the ball for sort of a fraction of a second to see, wait for Bellerin's run, and then, you know, it's obviously intentional. Puts it through his legs. It was a lovely little assist, yeah. And I think the other thing I noticed about that goal was it was a great run by Saka. You know, he was sort of trying to see where the pass was as he dribbled across the box, and then it comes, I think Aubameyang crosses it, and it comes over to Bellerin, who heads it across, and then Smith Rowe's first touch, I don't think it's really been pointed out, but I noticed it was actually a really good first touch because he's stretching for the ball and he controls it perfectly. Like he just controls it perfectly and then lays it off to Ceballos. So yeah, I mean, it was a lovely goal. I think you've been a bit harsh on Bellerin there, Raj. I think you're right, the keeper maybe could have done a bit better, but I think it was a pretty good finish. Like, he hits it low, hits it hard. He's not a striker at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah,
so,
fair enough.
Yeah,
but obviously that keeper just made that horrendous mistake 2 minutes before, right? Probably his head wasn't in the game, I guess, at that point as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's back to the point of what you guys were saying in terms of the starting lineup. I was worried that Saka was going to play left back because this is what he does when he plays in his right wing position. He makes things happen. Like, those second and third goal was down to him.
Yeah.
Made something out of nothing. Both of them were out of nothing. He scored those two goals, and we scored those two goals.
And, you know, to be honest, Nero, what was impressive, I thought, was the penalty that got overturned, that also was him doing something out of nothing. Because when he was making that run, all I thought was, all right, well, there's no good runner for him. He's got nowhere really to go, right? And he kept that move alive. And, you know, so that was another one, yet another moment where, you know, we're seeing that just seems to be such a massive strength of his, doesn't it? You know, just that keeping stuff alive. It's
crazy,
so impressive.
He's so young and he's already turning games for us, which is...
Exactly.
Incredible.
It's really impressive. It's really impressive. Okay,
Miles,
so...
I thought you were talking to yourself, Miles. I thought you were, like, getting in some kind of Saka-like trance. Yeah, he's so good. He's so good. Oh, my God, the guy's so good.
So 3-0 at halftime. None of us were comfortable because we're Arsenal fans and we've seen what Arsenal can do in second halves of games. But I think Leeds made two changes at the break. Then we come out second half. I think it was in the first few minutes, wasn't it, of the second half, resuming that we got the fourth. That Emil Smith Rowe, perfect cross, would you say?
He definitely meant it.
The more I look at it, the more I think it's a cross.
The thing is, I think either way, it's a really unorthodox technique. Do you know what I mean? It's like this really weird, like, chip, like, float type, whatever, drive. It's like everything rolled into one. Just kind of goes straight like an arrow, just like right at the right moment. Like, it looked like the execution ends up looking like the most amazing cross, doesn't it? But the technique makes it look really confusing.
Yeah.
Sure. So 4-0. We look like, you know, it's a perfect time to get the fourth, really. Looks like, you know, Leeds are not coming back from that, but I guess it's Leeds at the end of the day, and one thing they can do is and it's Arsenal, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, we've been all right at the back this season, you know, generally, apart from, okay, we've lost a lot of games, but we've not been getting thrashed or anything, and we've not been winning games 4-3 or whatever. So, and then obviously, Leeds come back into it. Noga, what were your thoughts on the first Leeds goal and taking it to 4-1?
I actually thought it was, at the time, you know, when it was the first goal, I thought, that's actually a pretty good goal. Like, because we were 4-0 up and it was like, we were pretty comfortable, and it was like, you could kind of appreciate when the opposition does that because you think, it's not really going to matter. It's a bit annoying. And it was an absolute bullet of a header.
Yeah, especially because we're legitimately good at defending corners now, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Leeds aren't very good at scoring corners either. And, you know, all of those things went wrong. And at that point, I was, you know, it was a mild annoyance. But obviously, little did I know what was to come. Mm. And at that point, it stopped becoming a mild annoyance. And then I started getting really stressed out.
it was. And I think it's interesting that obviously it's a game that Holding didn't start and we ended up conceding from a corner. I'm not saying that he's protects us from every single corner that or cross that comes in, but obviously one of his strengths is his aerial ability. So I agree with you, really. I think we were probably a little bit slightly concerned at that point, but not overly worried. Still got a pretty good cushion. Then it goes very quickly to 4-2, which I think, from my point of view, I pointed it out in our conversations during the game. Bellerin just switches off, doesn't he? Just completely switches off, leaves his runner, and just, it's a good goal from Leeds' point of view. You know, it's well worked, but I think we make it very, very easy for them. Anything to add on that, Raj?
But I think going back to your point, to be honest, it's the point about holding is probably a good one to examine a bit more generally, because I think one of the things that we praise the team, you know, between ourselves, is that we've done really well defensively, given we've had such a chop and change defense over the last however many games. Yeah, we've barely had a settled back four during this whole period, even that period where, you know, I think we hadn't conceded out of 5 out of 6 games. We had that great run. It was basically a different back four all the time. And at some point, though, that's going to be exposed. And I think like it could have been a case of that against Leeds, where there was a little bit of that misunderstanding. I think that back four probably hadn't played together before at all. Maybe. I don't think they've ever played back together, that lineup. Yeah. And so sometimes maybe that communication, that understanding is going to, you know, whether it's from a corner or even kind of, you know, defensively, I'm going to give Bellerin the benefit of the doubt here, because it did feel like that was quite a big individual lapse. But, you know, at some point, I think changing the back four pretty much every game, which isn't Arteta's fault, I think. Like, it's not necessarily his fault, but I think that's obviously going to cause you some challenges, isn't it?
Sure, absolutely. So that's 4-2. And then I believe it was the Bamford penalty. Well, shortly after the Bamford penalty claim. I think between the four, I think the four of us, we saw that. And
we brushed it off. Move on. Nothing to see.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think if that was down the other end, you know, similar to the Saka first half one that was overturned, I think we'd be pretty peeved off. I think it's probably expect Leeds fans are. What would you guys say? Would you say that was a penalty and the wrong decision?
So I don't think it was too different from the penalty shout, to be honest. So at least I'm glad that the referee kept it consistent.
Do you think that that's maybe why it wasn't given, because of, you know, this kind of unconscious evening things out? Although the referee...
Did it go to VAR?
No.
Did it?
VAR look at everything.
It would have been checked.
VAR look at
everything. It wasn't given and then overturned, no, but they would have checked it. But the referee just didn't give it. That's what I'm saying. Do you think the referee maybe just didn't give it, kind of, I don't know, on the basis that he didn't give the Saka one in the first half?
Are we giving them too much credit? Like, sometimes, I know, like, I don't want to be massively like anti-official.
I guess what I'm saying,
then VAR would tell the referee, go and check it, isn't it? I thought that's how it
worked. Yeah, but
so they didn't inform me to go and check, did they?
They do, but I think the point is, like, VAR are evaluating everything. So it's not like the referee tells them, I'm not sure about that decision. So VAR would have looked at the fact that the referee gave it as no penalty, and they wouldn't have said anything. So they just looked and said, there's no clear and obvious error, which again brings me back to the annoyance of the first penalty, where I was like,
if they're looking at it more than once, then I think that's not clear and obvious. I think that should be like that's your layman's rule, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Clear and obvious. If you're looking at it if you need a second or third angle, then it's clearly not.
Well, it depends. I mean, like, the one thing I say that, Niro, is you remember against Leicester, at home, when Lacazette's goal was given off, was disallowed, and the first camera angle, you look at it and you're like, oh, actually, like, in fairness, it looks like he's blocking the keeper. Then you go to the other camera angle, which is behind the goal, and actually they're nowhere near in line, and VAR seemingly probably didn't look at that view. But I agree with your point generally. I think you're right. If you've got to look at it from a couple of different angles, probably not clear and obvious, is it?
If I were to be sort of neutral, I think both should have been penalties. Like, you should treat the second one the same way as you treat the first one, either way. So,
and I think, it could have been given, I think. I think it could have easily been given. And, you know, assuming they score that, I mean, God knows what happens from there. So maybe an element of luck, but after that, I think we see it out fairly well. I don't remember Leeds having, or Leno having too much to do after that, sort of the last 15, 20 minutes.
I felt like, surprisingly, actually, we calmed down when we brought El Neni on.
That's what he does, isn't he?
Which I wasn't expecting, yeah. Like, El Neni came on and, like, he slowed it down, and we did look a bit more secure.
Holding came on as well, didn't he? Sorry, I was going to say Holding came on as well, didn't he? So, no, carry on.
Yeah, so they seemed like two good subs.
Yeah.
But then obviously the first sub was probably, I was on social media and we had a bit of a chat about this as well, which is when we brought Willian on. I think we took Smith Rowe off. I know, like, you guys know my feelings about Willian. I think they're quite well. Like,
I think you're the only one to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one.
This, but
in fairness, you've been consistent. You've consistently thought this was a bad signing.
Yeah. Well, I gave him the benefit of the doubt, and you know, within his second game, he had a good start, but then
brilliant first game, didn't he? Hat-trick of assists.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. And he almost convinced me that it might work out, but then you know, I don't think he's had a shot on target for like 10 games. Like, what do you guys think? Like, do we give up on Willian, or do we have to keep playing him? Because you could argue 4-1 up. It's an ideal time to bring on someone.
Do you mean give him up as in just not play him anymore? Like, he's just no
room. Yeah, not play him unless absolutely necessary
for the rest of the season.
Yeah, like, you've got Pepe, you've got Martinelli.
I think Niro, I think you had some interesting thoughts on Willian.
No, like, I think, again, first point is, like, Willian was a good player last season. Like, he was getting goals and a lot of assists. I think he was probably one of the most informed players post-COVID since Project Restart last season in the Premiership. So you don't turn from good to bad overnight. I think we've invested a lot in Willian in terms of wages, so I don't think the club can just sort of give up on him. I doubt we can sell him either. So I think we'll have to sort of, I think what Arteta's trying to do is, we're 4-1 up, let's try, it's a good chance to get Willian, try and, you know, bring him into form a bit, right? So I think he's still got faith in Willian. But in my opinion, he's sort of gone down the pecking order, hasn't he? Like, you've got yesterday's your first team pretty much, and then your second team would be what, Martinelli and your Pepes. So he's sort of gone down the pecking order big time. So I'm a bit baffled in terms of what the options are. So I don't think we can sell him. So we'll have
it's
to
an
make
interesting
him work.
Rationale, isn't it, Nira? Because, like, it's basically like any one of us, if we bought something really expensive at home, and you just couldn't really make use of it, you'd almost force yourself to try and use it, right? To try and make use of it. And it feels like that to me, because I agree with everything that you've said, actually, and how you kind of describe the situation. And I imagine that with Arteta, he's probably going, well, I've got to somehow make this work, right? Otherwise, this is such a waste of money.
And a failing on him as well, as a manager, as well. One of his.
It's his first signing, wasn't it?
You can't blame it, like, you know, Saliba or whoever else, all the other signings were ex-manager signings. This is his, under his watch, isn't it? So he's desperate to make it work.
Basically, you're saying that, like, Willian is Arteta's expensive lockdown coffee machine.
Yeah, no, it's something even more like irrelevant than a coffee machine. So it's like I don't know what it's like. It's foot massager or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like you don't need it. Like, right now, I guess the point is, there doesn't seem to be a situation in any of the games where it feels like, yeah, we need Willian on. No. We need Willian stuff. There's no situation.
I mean, the thing is, like, yesterday was probably the best time if we're going to bring him on at 4-1 up. I don't know how when he came on. I can't remember exactly when it was. But let's say 30 minutes. I think it was about the 60th minute, wasn't it? In a home game.
Yeah.
It's probably the right time to bring him on, right? Like,
yeah,
he's not. You're not bringing him on to change the game, or so. Yeah.
He was lively when they brought him on against Man United.
That's true.
That was his best game since the first game of the season. He was getting involved. Like, that's like the Willian which I was like, oh, I recognise him from last season.
It's that guy.
He's a new signing. Yeah, but I don't know.
He'll score a hat trick against City next week and he'll be falling at his feet. So,
pull him out.
Okay, so I don't think after that, I don't think there was too many. Were there too many incidents? I remember Aubameyang getting hacked down a couple of times, which was a bit annoying. But aside from that, I don't think there were any.
Well, if you remember, after like the Leeds penalty shout, Aubameyang hit the bar like about 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, 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 sorry. Yeah,
true.
That would have been nice. 4 goals, right? That would have been pretty cool. So, you know, as much as it could have ended up very tight at the end, you know, we could have got 5 as well. So, yeah. Mm.
Definitely.
Deserved win, I think.
I think, yeah. And it was a good win after a couple of defeats. I think it's... I was just going to talk about Ødegaard as well. Obviously, his debut, played the majority of the game. I personally thought he looked good. He looked kind of, he looked like a tidy player. I think it was the Saka, was it the first penalty that wasn't given or the second one? But I think he plays a 1-2 with Saka on the right-hand side and then set Saka off, which I thought was just a nice little, you know, link up. And you never know when a new player comes into the team, but you wouldn't have watched that game and watched him and said, oh, he's never played for Arsenal, or he's never played in this team before, which I think was really good. Like, I think that was a nice thing to see. And I think there were concerns about his fitness as well. He's not played much in the last few months at Madrid, so, and he's not really played for us. So, yeah, I think overall positive. No-go, Aaron, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I felt he was quietly good. He was pretty tidy. You know, what I liked about him is, yeah, as soon as he got the ball, he always tried to play it forward, tried to find the pass and make an impact. You know, he's certainly got, yeah, certainly a work in progress. But you can see the potential there. But what I like is, even though he didn't do anything spectacular, he didn't really, you know, mess up or do anything that badly either. So, you know, he's had a week of training since our last game, and hopefully now we can kick on and, like, start to make an impact, because, you know, he's only here for, like, 4 months, so he kind of has to make an impact soon. He hasn't got the luxury of time to bed in.
Sure. Completely agree.
He's one of those where I think exactly how you guys said. I think what's really great is he looks like he's exactly the identity of player that fits into whatever we are trying to do right now, whatever that might be. He feels like he is part of that, right? He's clicking, he's moving the ball quickly, he's technical, he seems like he gets it. You know, it doesn't seem like he's just been around for 5 minutes like you guys have said. And I think what was interesting is, you know, we touched on it right at the beginning about how it seemed like he was going to be the one to take time off ESR so we could, you know, make sure ESR doesn't get burnt out. And it was so interesting actually seeing them all play together and see the fact that as an attacking unit, these components are all genuinely quite interchangeable now. And we didn't have to move Saka out of that right wing, as Aaron said at the beginning. We didn't have to do that to still actually be able to play Odegaard and ESR together as well, like in that three. And it worked so nicely. Right, it just worked really nicely, and so that gives me a lot of encouragement. And and it's also nice, right, to hear his comments, I think, after the game, where he's just talking about how good he feels and how welcome he's felt. And and as much as I think that some of our young players have probably benefited from not having the crowd there to get on their back sometimes, I do, you know, with him, I sort of also wish that we were there to make him feel part of the Emirates, do you know what I mean? And like, and actually, you know, give him that encouragement, make him feel like he's loved by the fans as well. Because I think if he carries on at this rate, okay, it's very early days, it's his first start, but
yeah,
if he carries on at this rate, and if we can sign him on a perm, I mean, that's great. It's like a little try before you buy someone who's young, someone who's got obvious talent. And like, yeah, you know, it would have been nice to try and make him feel welcome as, you know, part of the North Bank, right?
Sure, definitely. And I think you guys touched on the attacking four that Arteta chose yesterday, obviously with Aubameyang spearheading the attack. So we mentioned Aubameyang, we mentioned the goals obviously that he scored yesterday. And I think, as you said, the three that he selected in behind was quite an interesting one. You know, no Pepe, obviously no Willian. You know, Laka replaced by Aubameyang, no Martinelli. And it was very much, I mean, Saka's made that right-hand side his own. You know, he's just basically made himself undroppable in the league games now on the right-hand side. I don't think you can't afford him. I think he played 90 minutes yesterday. So, yeah, just massive key player for us. But very, very interesting to see how well Aubameyang did with those players behind him, around him. Like you said, Raj, really, really exciting. Do you think... just on Aubameyang specifically, I mean, he's obviously our main striker. He's going to be with us for another couple of years after this season. Like I said, we've signed him to a contract for another couple of years after this one. Going forward in the league, do we think that that's potentially the three that play around him? If so, kind of where does that leave the likes of Martinelli, the likes of Pepe, or is it a case of rotation? For the remaining games, you know, remaining, I don't know how many games it is, 12 to 14 games, whatever it is.
Personally, like, I think it's going to be a luxury to be able to think that we can play the same kind of 11 constantly. Kind of, you know, it feels like rotation's going to be something that we just have to accept. But also, you know, maybe, and this is because probably I have a very limited tactical awareness in this respect, but it feels like there's a lot that the managers do to think about the opposition and their strengths and, you know, therefore what the best lineup we need to be putting out. But look, I think it's easy also after a performance like this to feel like, oh, it's all really rosy. We've got the formula and it works. The thing I want to see from Aubameyang, right, is if we go back to last season, and generally how he's been at Arsenal is, when we're not creating much, he's been that guy who'll come up with the match winner, who'll come up with that moment of brilliance. And yesterday was really cool because he had lots of service. He had all this great technicality like around him. But I want to see those games when we are, for example, away at Aston Villa and we're struggling to create something and you need just the old Aubameyang to just go and do something. That's what I desperately want to see. But I think, you know, maybe yesterday needed to happen where we needed to just give him all the facilities to be successful and then get him back into form. But I guess to answer your question again, kind of more specifically, I think it will ultimately have to depend on what the opposition is. But I think what the encouraging thing about yesterday is just knowing that our components are changeable and Pepe, who's been our in-form player of the last few games, to be honest, like we could rest him and then we still score 4 goals against a good Premier League side. Right, so that's nice.
100%.
Because it's important to obviously understand, obviously, those three you mentioned, and Martinelli, they're all very, very young, which is good for us in the future, long term, but at the same time, we don't want them to be burning out by playing in week in, week out. So I think Arteta will realise that, and he will try and rotate it and play the likes of Willian and Pepe when he can. So, opposition point is obviously a very good point as well.
Yeah, of course.
But you don't want the youngsters to burn out.
Yeah, and I think that's why Smith Rowe came off after 60 minutes. I mean, Saka played the full game yesterday. Not ideal when you've got the fixtures that we have or the schedule that we have coming up, but he's just such a key player, isn't he? And I wanted to talk about Saka really quickly because we talked about what he did in the first half, how impressive he was, you know, creating things out of nothing. He created the penalty that wasn't out of nothing. And then the second penalty that was given, just from, like I said before, just really, really aggressive pressing and making something happen, you know, wanting to create something out of nothing. Impressive again, you know, he's been our best player this season, I would say. I don't think anyone would probably disagree with that. And I just wanted to, so right side, that's now his. Anything that anyone else wanted to add on Saka specifically? Any thoughts about him?
I think, mate, you know, I mean, you said it around making the right side. It's remarkable how someone at that age can play in so many different positions and just come out with a top performance time and time again. It's almost like we're waiting for him to have a bad game or a bad set of games. And every time he does something in a match, which it surprises you, it seems to almost take it to another level all the time. And when you look at the top sides, you look at City, who seem to have got their mojo back, right? And it's all about just consistently being awesome. It's about consistently having good habits and being game changers, like consistently. And ultimately, if we're to get back to the top, anywhere near the top, we're going to need to get a lot more habitual, right? We're going to need to have good behaviors and consistently have game-changing moments from players who are all willing to make a difference. He's doing that all the time. Every game, he is doing that.
Yeah, definitely. I just pray that we can keep him fit because he's so young. Like, he has the potential to be our... like, he's playing right wing now, but he could play pretty much anywhere for the next 10 years, which is like, so exciting. Go on.
No, I was going to say, like, I mean, just... obviously, we talk about, you know, as we are, we're talking about Saka and praising him rightly. He's putting in the performances. We were crap earlier in the season. He was the sort of shining light, the guy who was still performing at a higher level than everyone else. And he's been fantastic, right? But it's interesting because I talked to friends who support other teams and I wouldn't necessarily say they don't rate Saka as highly, but I've noticed that he's not getting the attention that some of the other English youngsters are getting. So when you hear these conversations, and this is sort of slightly separate to Arsenal, but when you hear these conversations around you know, who are the attacking players that are going to go to the Euros for England? And the names that are mentioned are Foden, you know, nailed on, Grealish, Southgate really likes Mount, Madison, and now you're probably talking about Harvey Barnes in there as well. Saka, okay, he's made the last couple of squads, fair enough, but he doesn't really get talked about in the same way as those players. I'm just wondering if you guys have any thoughts as to why that might be.
Maybe he's still like he's still a teenager, isn't he? So I think in terms of, they still have stats in terms of he still scored more goals than all the other teenagers in the Premiership combined. Yeah, I don't know if it's an age thing. But then from a Arsenal fan perspective, do you want him to go to the Euros? Because, you know, him going will then add, obviously the experience is great, but then it will add the additional pressure. And then like right now, it seems like no pressure, like you said, no other fans really take notice of him. So he's playing his best football and he's growing, isn't he? Do you reckon getting the spotlight might sort of, you know, hinder his progression in a way, or do you reckon he's sort of strong enough not to let that affect him?
I think he seems strong enough, definitely. It just seems like, I think the reason that everyone's so positive about him is, you know, not only is he doing it on the pitch, but off the pitch, he just seems like he's got, you know, he's got good people around him. His head's in the right place. Doesn't really seem to be distracted by anything that we see other young players, you know, get distracted and caught up with bad stories. So I think, you know, I'm not so worried about that. And, you know, Myers, to go back to what you said about England and stuff, I think the reason is, you know, when he got in the England team, he got in as left back, right? Or left wing back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not really that exciting to get that excited. Like, left backs aren't that exciting, right? Whereas a Foden is.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not taking away from any of the players I mentioned. Like, me personally, I'm a big fan of Foden. Obviously, you know, what he did the other day as well. But just generally, you know, he looks like a real talent. It wasn't so much taking away from the players I mentioned. But I just feel like whatever position we're talking about, when we're talking about the youngsters that are going to kind of make the England squad, I just don't feel like he gets that, you know, yeah, I don't think he gets talked about in the conversation enough from my point of view and from, you know, when I speak to other people. But yeah, I was just trying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Because I wonder if part of it is just because Arsenal aren't doing well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's part of it, because what I still can't get my head around is Mason Greenwood still gets talked up as this absolute superstar. Listen, like, obviously we've got Man United rivalry and all that kind of stuff. He's obviously a talented guy, but he's a forward who has scored one goal in the Premier League this whole season.
Okay,
he's a forward who scored one goal in the Premier League this season, and he's playing for an ultimately attacking team who are like, what, second in the league right now. Saka's, I don't know, what, scored five? He's probably scored more than one goal playing at fullback. So, like, I don't, you know, again, just going back to this guy puts a top performance, whatever position you put him in. He's got more goals than all the other teenagers combined. I mean, I don't really know what more you can say about the guy. I agree with you, Myers. I feel like people aren't. And I don't mind, you know, it sounds like, you know, we do really mind. Obviously, it's nice to see your players recognised. But ultimately, it perhaps could be because he is so versatile that it's a problem in terms of where people see him, what kind of positions see him in. And maybe it is because it's Arsenal and we're not doing very well. But I mean, you know, I think we just all feel, obviously tell, we all just feel so lucky to have him, right? And I agree with Aaron, and I reckon if he goes to England, like for the Euros, apart from the sphere of injury, apart from that, I think he's got such a good head on him. Like, I think he'd be fine, to be honest.
Maybe when the last England, obviously the last time England played, like the start of the season, Saka was playing left back, so it sort of makes sense why sort of Southgate played in there. I think since then he's been putting in all these performances in that right wing. So maybe when the next England squad does come up, he might get recognised by the England manager, and he might try him out there. That's where he's been playing for the last few games.
Yeah, he's obviously got that versatility, which is going to be so attractive for Southgate, right? You need that in a squad for a tournament. So let's see what happens. Anyway, we're not here to talk about England, but I was just, like I said, interested to get your thoughts. So overall, you know, great win, one that we needed after the last couple of games, two losses in a row. So, good win, really good first half performance. And I think generally, even though we can see those couple of goals, it was very, very much deserved. So And now we now go into, you know, return of European football this week. Unfortunately for us, it's on a Thursday again, but huge game for us. A first leg against Benfica in Rome, I think it is. Is that right? Is that right? Is it in Rome?
It's hard to keep track, isn't it? But we are doing like Rome or that, Greece, one of the two,
right? Which one's our home leg?
Yeah, exactly. yeah, a bit of a farce, but we're not going to go into that. But so Benfica this week. So I'm just keen to see what you guys think. Maybe not specifically about the Benfica game, but just generally about the Europa League campaign that we have remaining this season. Obviously, last season was really disappointing, the way we went out. And this season, the fact that where we are in the league means it's going to be pretty tough for us to get into the Europa League places. Do we want to be in the Europa League again next season? Do we want to qualify via the league? Obviously, we would like to be in the Europa League for obvious reasons. But yeah, just keen to get your thoughts on how Arteta now will view the Europa League in terms of his team selections, in terms of rotation, and where he might value that competition compared to the league. Yeah,
it's going to be really interesting, right? Because we've got those two Europa games, but in between we've got City in the league as well, right? So, yeah, maybe he even like rests players against City to prioritize the Benfica games, which is, you know, which kind of tells you all you need to know about how realistic he thinks our chances in the league are. And like you said, Myers, like we've known for a long time that we've blown the league in terms of any real success. As early as kind of November. So yeah, we've almost got no choice but to go all in on the Europa League. If it was a different season and we were still kind of in and around the top four, then you could argue that actually maybe it's not so wise, but we've literally, you know, we're out of the FA Cup, we're out of the League Cup. We, you know, I don't think we're going to get top four unless there's a miracle. So yeah, this has to be our first priority.
It might.
We're only 6 points. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
We're only. I think at this stage we need to sort of, you know, have many options possible to get to that top four goal, right? To get Champions League football. Sorry, I don't think getting top four is out of the question. To be honest, like I think we're only 6 points behind Liverpool, who's fourth, and with the way how teams are dropping points like left, right, and centre, I think that, in my opinion. We might disagree on this. I think we've got a better chance of getting top four than winning Europa League. I think there's still a lot of quality teams left in Europa League at the moment. Obviously, I think, yeah, keep at it on both fronts. But I fancy our chances in the league, to be honest, because everyone else
dreaming is dreaming.
No. Nero, are you saying you fancy our chances for what? Where? For what? Sorry, for the Europa League?
I think we can get top four.
Top four?
We're only six. I'm not saying we definitely will. It's a long shot, but I don't think.
Looked at the table. There's an 8-point gap, so we're on 34 points.
Yeah, but hang on. There's so many teams with games Chelsea, in hand,
Chelsea are on 42.
I think we've got more chance of doing that than winning Europa League. Like, I know
it's an interesting one because
tough league to win. It's a tough tournament.
I think it's the fact that there's so many games left in the Europa League. Like we're at the first knockout round, which is, you know, there's so many rounds left to go, and it's hard.
Bad performance.
And I think it's hard. You know, this conversation always comes up, and I think we've had it between us where it's like, oh, what does he prioritize? The league's gone. You're not going to get top four. Okay, very, very unlikely to get top four. Even top six looks quite tough this season. Let's prioritise the Europa League. But if you're the manager of a football team, how do you prioritise? I find it hard to believe that it's that simple to say, oh, we're going to just prioritise this game and then we're going to play on the Sunday. Don't worry about this game, guys. We're just going to focus on the following. Like, it's all about form, isn't it? And it's all about continuity, and it's all about... you know, Aubameyang scored three yesterday, and you know he's going to play on Thursday, and we hope that he scores again, and we hope that he plays against City, and he scores again. Like, you know, I find it very difficult to believe that it's that simple to just prioritise one competition. I completely get what we're saying. It's like, if we could, what do we want to achieve this season? We want to win the Europa League now. Like, that's kind of the priority in terms of our goals now for the season, or goal for the season.
But yeah, I think Noga, I was just having a look at the teams that are left in the Europa League. It's probably more difficult this season than it has been in the last few. You've got some really, really strong teams in there. What do you guys think are our chances? I mean, it's early days. Like I said, we're in the first knockout round. What do you guys think are our chances of actually, you know, getting to the semi-finals, the final, and actually winning this?
But you, you know, the thing is, right, it's all well and good saying the teams in the Europa League are trickier than they've been previously. But for us to finish top four, there are teams who are currently playing in the Champions League that we need to be doing better than, right? Like, there are some very good sides who have been underperforming in a similar way than we have that, you know, at the end of the day, still have a better position in the league than we have, or games in hand, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's not in our hands, ultimately. And the Europa League, to some extent, in theory, is in our hands, right? And a lot of these teams in the Europa League, yeah, you know, excuse me, it's, yeah, there are some big names. But we've also proven that actually we're quite capable of beating good sides. Like, if we're actually better than I think we've been in the last 10 years at beating bigger sides. So look, I take Nero's point. At the end of the day, like, there's a lot of games to go still in the Europa League, and it's a knockout competition, right? But top four is going to be really hard. And I think because top six is even going to be like hard at this point. But look, I think if you look at the Benfica game specifically, this is going to be a really interesting tie for us, to be honest, because Benfica are actually having a very similar-ish season to us. Like, they're fourth at the moment in their league, and they've not finished outside of the top two for like 15 years or something ridiculous, right? They've literally been first or second since God knows when. I think 2001 or something. I looked this up the other day. And so it's been a long time, and they're fourth. Yeah. So for them, where they are now is sort of similar to where we are now in our league, right? It's just not a very good season for them. So in a way, I guess the positive is they're probably not as good as they have been in the past. But the negative is, similarly to us, this is probably going to be their best chance this season of getting in the Champions League. So that'll be interesting. And I wonder, actually, if you forensically look at the other teams that are still in it, are those other teams in similar situations as well, where this competition means a hell of a lot to them?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, three of the teams left are above us in the league right now.
Yeah, I was going to say. So
really?
We've got Leicester, Spurs,
and United.
And Man United, yeah.
We're above us in the league right now.
Fair enough.
That's why. That's before you start talking about the Milans of the world and the Ajaxes of the world. So, yeah.
It's like, the thing is, when we go back to the league or Europa question, right? And I think, Mize, like, your point on rotation, you're right, it's not that simple. Secondly, I think actually coming up, things might end up being a bit more straightforward in terms of selection, because I think against City, we're going to have to play a relatively functional kind of side anyway. Like, we probably have to be a little bit more conservative with how we structure, right? If we go out there and try and go toe-to-toe with City, we're going to lose, right? They're on form. They're a great side anyway. Yeah. So we probably are going to be, you know, it might be a game for an El Neni.
El Neni.
Do you know what I mean? It's going to be anyway. So maybe it is a case where, yeah, it's true though, isn't it, right? Like, yeah. It might be an El Neni game. So I wonder against Benfica, it might be a game where we literally play the same 11 or very similar that's just played, and then kind of assess for fitness and see how it goes. You know, who knows? We might win by a good margin, and he might feel, okay, actually, I can play some of these guys against City, and then maybe I'll rest them against Benfica in the next round. I don't know. But so it might sort itself out, Mike, because I agree. Because the last thing you want, right, is play a weakened team against City, get absolutely spanked, destroy the confidence completely. You know, you don't want that either, do you?
No, exactly. Yeah.
That might happen even when we're our fully fit, strong team, mate.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that game, to be honest. But okay. That's great. And in terms of, so Benfica, I mean, I may as well go around and get everyone's predictions for the first leg, away leg.
Away leg.
Okay. Aaronen, what do you reckon? Oh, you're on mute.
I think, well, we kind of have to go for it, right? Because it's the away, like, bizarrely, away goals will still count. So, yeah, I think 3-1.
So who?
Arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nero?
I'll say 2-1 Arsenal.
Confident, okay.
2-1 Arsenal, yeah.
Raj?
It's a very specific score to go for, but I'm actually going to go for 3-1 as well, to be honest. I don't know why. I do feel we'll win.
How you like, think we'll win? Okay.
I do think so. I just, yeah, that one, I do feel we'll concede as well for some annoying reason. But yeah, I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay, so you guys are being more confident than I am. I actually think it's going to be a draw, probably a score draw. Yeah. I don't think they're in particularly great form, but they've got some players that we'd recognise if you look at their squad. I was just having a look at it actually, and Batongan's there. Everton, who I think we were linked with last year or a couple of years ago, Brazilian. Yeah. Weigl from I think he was from Dortmund, wasn't he?
They lost their last. They lost their best player. Vinicius was like them.
Ruben Dias is a beautiful player as well, but yeah. Yeah, okay, let's see what happens on Thursday, I guess. So looking forward to that one. Brilliant, guys. Really enjoyable. Thank you, everyone who's tuned in and joined us, and hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll hopefully be able to bring you another one of these soon. Thanks again.
Subscribe.
Like, share. Comments.
We'll get used to this.
All right, guys. Thanks very much.